my brother-in-law, everybody knows Andrew Ebert, so that's kind of how I'm connected there. One of his older sisters, Jessica, she sang this morning with the family, but I'm her husband. And so it's good to be with you all this evening. Amen. And Pastor Ryman just said to me this afternoon, right after the morning service, you know, he said, what are your plans this evening? And I wasn't sure where we were going to be as far as just in town on vacation and different things like that. And he said, well, if you're here, you're preaching. So I said, all right, amen. So here we are tonight, but I sure do appreciate being here. We live up about an hour southeast of Pittsburgh. I moved there last October. The name of the church up there is Miracle Ridge Baptist Church. And God's just doing a great work up there. Originally, I grew up just outside of Atlantic City, New Jersey. So I've only been up there a little bit. So I'm from Jersey for all intents and purposes. As I said this morning, don't hold that against me. Amen. But for sure, one thing you can't get outside of Jersey or this area is a good cheesesteak. Pittsburgh, they just can't do it. But I'm still trying. I'm going to get one of them before I leave town. But tonight, I just want to be a quick encouragement to you. Some messages, you know, they're more kind of like a sniper rifle where you're kind of locked in on something and you're kind of shooting long ways. And then other ones, tonight's just going to be more like a shotgun. I'm just going to sprinkle some things out there. And I just pray it'll be an encouragement to somebody along the line. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, to get started here this evening. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, verse 41 is where we're going to be. Luke 2:41. Give me an amen when you get there. And it's such a blessing, just something as simple as that. Do you know how many churches you go to and say, give me an amen when you get there? You'll hear pages turning left and right, and then you'll hear, amen. Just one across the crowd. So I always appreciate when folks are in it with you, amen. But Luke chapter number 2, verse 41 through 44. I'm going to read these, and I'll pray, and then we'll see what we can get here this evening. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. Father God, I do ask you tonight to speak to us. Lord, thank you so much that I could be here. Amen. And God, if it's one thing I'm as sure of as I am any other time I'm in a pulpit, is I don't have the answers, but I thank God you do. Amen. So I'd pray that you'd encourage us through your word. God, if there's any unsure of a home in heaven here tonight, Lord, speak to that soul especially. Lord, whether they're in the auditorium or in another part of the building, Lord, speak to them tonight. And we'll just thank you in advance for how you'll give us some encouragement here this evening. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we see a story that many of us are probably familiar with, and as it was required by God's law, every male was to go to Jerusalem those 3 times a year for the great festivals, and we're not getting into that part of it. It's not our message, but we see something that took place here, and I'll just give you 3 quick thoughts by leading into the way of just some real simple things that we all know about. But I just want it to be an encouragement. And some of the things with, you know, being a Christian, I don't ever want to get over getting saved. I was saved out of a pit. I mean, when you talk about, you know, the miry clay and a pit, and God set my feet upon a rock, he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear, and they shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, thy God, of thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And you're looking at a man, listen, I deserve to be right now in hell with my back broke down. If that's what I deserve, that's what we all deserve, but it's by the grace of God, amen, and his mercy that we're not there. And so as we think about Christianity, if you look here at verse number 41, one of the things that is a challenge for us many times is what they were doing. They were going there because it was a ritual. Excuse me. Verse number 43, they fulfilled the days. They did this all the time. It was a ritual. It got to be redundant. Many times as Christians, we can fall into the ritual of things. We can fall into the redundancy. Amen? And Jesus said, I have come they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He didn't say redundantly. Amen? Yeah. Now, I grew up, did anybody in here grow up Catholic? Catholicism, anybody else? Okay. Is anyone in here still practicing as far as Catholicism? Okay, I just wanted to check. You never know, visitor. I ain't looking to run anybody out. But we would go faithfully Christmas and Easter, and when we were younger, we went through CCD, my brother was an altar boy, and all the different things, and we went through that. Recently, we had members of our church, good, solid family, saved folks, and Brother Jim, his mom had just passed away, but the siblings, his siblings, and mom is 95, Brother Jim's up in his 60s, his siblings, they're not saved people. We've been praying for them. So obviously there was a conflict as far as how the funeral was going to be conducted and what type of things would be shared at the funeral. They wanted the rituals. They wanted the redundancy. And he said, I want to have our pastor come and say something as well. So he said, Pastor Knight, I got you 15 minutes. That's all we could get. Just give him the gospel, however you need to get it across, and we'll let God, we'll see what he'll do with it. Amen? Amen. So we got there, and I tried to be as tactful and appropriate as I could while I shared the gospel. And then he said, I appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you. And that was at the funeral home. And then he said, we're going to head the next part of the service. They're heading up to the Catholic church, big church just up around the corner. And he said, you know, I appreciate you coming, Pastor. I don't expect you to sit there. And I said, well, I can sit in the pew. It's all right. I'm going to hang in the back. I said, I'm here with you for the whole day, brother. We're going to go through it. So we went in, and we sat down, and Brother Jack, one of the deacons there from the church, he sat with me, and we sat in the back. And the family went through all the Brother Jim did not, but his siblings and the family, they went through the rituals. They went through the redundancy of it. They quoted back after prayers were said, and he got out, you know, the smoke maker, and he's going around the coffin, and they're going through the rituals and the redundancy. And behind us was, when I was a kid, the water bowl. I would go in, and my dad, I'd, you know, quick start splashing, and he would give me an elbow in the ribs. Stop messing around, boy. But, you know, I leaned over to Jack. I said, are you thirsty? And he says, no, I'm good, thanks. I said, there's water behind you. If you want a glass, I'll get. And he just started laughing. But as born-again Christians, just because we don't run around with, you know, a smoke pot or some other things, at times we can fall into just as much of a ritual and a redundancy as any other person out there, regardless of whatever their belief or denominational tag may be. And here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ as a child, the family was going through the ritual and just going through what they knew to do. And verse number 44, supposing he had been in the company, they went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. Now I want to jump over to verse number 49, and this is where we're going to be tonight. Verse number 49 of Luke chapter 2. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my, what are those two words? Say it with me. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen? Yeah. Most of us could probably quote that verse. How many of us could quote the next verse? Not as many. That next verse talks about God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a job to do. And when Jesus, he said, how do you know, you don't know him about my Father's business. I want you to think about this thought for tonight. As children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will, we are part of God's business. Amen? Amen. We get to work in Daddy's business, if you will. Amen. Hey, that's a blessing. Amen? Amen. We don't Amen. Deserve that, Amen. But God has chosen, for whatever reason, to use us. How many of you wake up some days and you're absolutely amazed that God would have anything to do with you? Amen. And he would see you, you know, used to carry out his work. That amazes me. When Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm going to kind of, you know, I think I give him some competition sometimes when I think about things. And I'm sure many of you feel the same way. But the fact is, God's got a business. Amen. And we get to be a part of that. Amen. There's many blessings about the business of the Lord. Now we know that as far as earthly profession goes, he was a carpenter, amen? And we know as far as that work, but a few thoughts here on that. He didn't come to do the work of a carpenter, he came to do the work of the cross. He didn't come to swing a hammer, he came to swing open heaven's gates. He didn't come to drive nails, he came to be driven by nails. He was not used as a tape measure, he was a measuring stick for all of mankind. He didn't come here to cut wood, he came here to be pierced on a tree. He didn't come here to use a template, he came to be the template, amen? You think about the work of the Lord, and as far as earthly, but spiritually speaking, we understand what God's business and what it's all about. We understand the part that we have in it. And all of us as saved, born-again Christians, we have a part in the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people to the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so a few different thoughts I'm going to give you. You could jot down verses if you want to jot them down on these. But there's a lot of blessings when we get to work for God.
Amen.
Yeah. And I've been involved with ministry since 2004. I've been involved as full-time paid staff. I've been involved as just straight-up layman volunteer. And then I've been involved, as I am right now, pastoring, but I also work part-time just to supplement my income and to keep my medical insurance. So Monday to Thursday, right around 6 o'clock, a little before that usually, I hit the docks in a bus freight over a FedEx freight up in New Stanton, Pennsylvania. And I'm over there for several hours, go home, clean up, whatever, get myself together a little bit. And then I get in a church office in the afternoon there. But as far as paid, unpaid, staff, not staff, if we're saved, we're working for God.
Amen.
We're saved, we got a job.
Amen.
Hey, every one of us in here, we got a gift.
Amen.
Now, I thank God for people who are gifted to sing. Amen?
Amen.
I cannot sing from the diaphragm. I'll sing from my heart. Amen?
Yeah.
But I thank God. My wife sang this morning. She's got a voice like a songbird. My daughter, just already at 4, is starting to just sing things with her. And I thank God for that. I thank God that it sounds like my daughter is taking after mommy as far as her voice goes. But thought number one, and as I said, these are just going to be simple thoughts. I just want to be an encouragement. As Christians, one of the greatest blessings we have in our Father's business is the mercy of God that he's bestowed upon us.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Sometimes people have defined the word mercy that we are not getting what we deserve because of God's mercy.
Amen. Amen.
God has been merciful to spare us from hell.
Yeah.
God has been merciful to spare us from so many things. Now, anybody in here with kids, whether they're still young, they used to be young, how many of you find that your kids listen every single time the first time you tell them to do something? Raise your hand if you've mastered that trick. Amen. All right. Anybody who raised their hand, I was going to have them come up and finish the sermon, preacher. But the fact is, I got to keep telling her over and over and over again. And we're down at Grammy and Pop's this weekend, and they got the pool, and the kids love the pool. Well, I love the pool too, but when kids can't swim and they certainly aren't tall enough to stand in it, the pool is a headache. Amen? You got to make sure the screen door's locked. You got to make sure the back door's locked. You got to keep an eye. Stay out of there. Don't go near the pool. Don't go near the pool. Don't go out the screen door. No one's out there with you. You're not allowed on the back deck by yourself. Wait for an adult. Over and over and over. Why? I'm trying to get a message through.
Yeah.
We're trying to drill something through that is for their own good. Amen? And many times God deals with us the same way when he's trying to get something through. He'll repeat it sometimes. Many times he'll continue to try to drive something in to teach us. I pray many times, God, help me to be a quick learner. Help me the first time I get to a test in life to pass it first time through so I don't need to retake that test. Amen? But as far as God's mercy, he gave us such a great thing. I love the Bible. In Psalms 136, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom he made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote Egypt and her firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And he made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And he slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And he gave their land for an heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and he hath redeemed us from all of our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
26 times in one chapter, every single verse, he reminds us, my mercy endureth forever. Hey, God's trying to get a point across. 26 times in one chapter, he said, I need you to get a hold of something, folks. God's merciful. I'm thankful that I get to be a part of a business that has endless, unexhaustible mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Thought number two, like I said, we're going deep here. Grace. Amen?
Amen.
Spurgeon said, keep the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get to them. I like cookies. That's not a secret by looking up here. Amen. So I keep the cookies where I can get to them in church. But number one, his grace. We're not getting what we deserve. Thank God. Or excuse me, his mercy. Number two, his grace. That's getting something that we don't deserve. This morning, I just sat there weeping. I'm a crier. One of the greatest things I found in life, real men can cry. One of the greatest verses in the Bible I found, it's a long one, get ready. I'll break it up because it's long. John 11:35a, Jesus. John 11:35b, wept. Amen? Jesus wept. I'm so thankful that I learned that long ago that I could cry and be excited about the things of God because I spent enough time getting about, you know, excited things of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. But this morning as they sang, I met Andrew 10 or 11 years ago. He was 10 years old. And I won't give definitions for the next few words I'm going to use. I wouldn't do that to him. But his nickname that I gave him as a 10-year-old punk was Spackler. Spack is short for Spackler. Why you call him that? I can't tell you that. Then we called him A-Dog as he hit his teen years. Why'd you call him A-Dog? I can't tell you that neither. But I've watched Andrew grow from a 10-year-old boy from when I first met the family, when me and Jess began our courtship there. And I've now watched him grow into a 21-year-old young man. And when I see him up there with his sister and his wife, my sister-in-law, well, I just sat over there weeping.
Yeah.
That's the grace of God.
Yeah.
He don't deserve that.
Yeah.
I don't deserve to be a part of that family.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that and just sitting in church, man, God is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Listen, you're looking at a man. Look, I used to be all about, man, if I was out, it was a weekend, you can rest assured. I was pill popping and bar hopping. And somebody, hey, I got saved, and now I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, and the devil can't slow me down.
Amen.
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 But it's grace. Hey, you think about the things in our life we got that we do not deserve. I think about my wife. I think about my two precious children. I think about my daughter singing hymns with mommy going down the road. Hey, I don't deserve that. I think about when I got saved, September 5th, 2002. Last time I took a drink was 2004, and God's still working on me. He's working on all of us. But I think about that. My daughter was born in 2014. Praise to the Lord for what I'm about to say next. Don't take this as it's me. My daughter got to start out her life with a daddy who was already 10 years sober.
Yeah.
She got to start out life with a daddy who was 10 years sober, trying to walk with the Lord, had been growing as a Christian. And I'm not saying it to say, look at me. I'm saying, she don't deserve that grace.
Amen.
I don't deserve that grace that God opened my eyes that I could start my family that way. Hey, listen, I grew up with a false concept. Weekends are made for Michelob, right?
Yeah.
They're not made for that. Hey, the weekends are made for God. Amen?
Amen.
And just side note, so is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Amen.
God created it all. Amen?
Amen?
Every day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
Growing up in this world, in this country, in America, I love being here. You better believe that we're under attack.
Yeah.
The things that they tell us are normal. The things that they tell us are right. The things that they tell us are lawful. If it don't line up with that Bible, it's not right. It's not lawful, and it's not for us. Amen?
Amen.
But God's grace, the Bible says in Psalms 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 3:34 says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. In John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible declares in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for that. That whereas sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts 15, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved even as they. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul declared, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:8, 9, we know that, but for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:9, the Bible says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. The Bible closes on the high note of grace in Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible closes on an amen, folks.
Amen.
But you know what? Think of all the things that we have that we really don't deserve. Think of our families. Think of our homes. I went on a missionary trip in 2003 to Peru. We would regularly go to the Atlantic City Rescue Mission with outreach, trying to help the folks out. The folks that we witnessed to and we would try to reach in the Atlantic City Rescue Mission were living like kings and queens compared to the folks in Peru. Yeah, somebody, amen, Brad, that's right, my Jersey brother, amen. I parked next to your tags this morning. I saw him, my wife, I said, his Jersey tags were parking next to them, amen. But those folks in Peru, they would give anything to live in that rescue mission in Atlantic City. In America, we got it good.
Yeah.
Hey, we can open this Bible, and we can say and preach in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's folks right now around the world, they can't declare and they can't preach and they can't pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Hey, thank God for his graciousness that here we are in America and we got that good like that and we got the grace of God in our life.
Yeah.
Recently, God's done an amazing work in my life. My parents split when I was 14, 15. Dad was gone. At best, I had a relationship every few years. I would see him, his truck driver, maybe every 3, 4, 5 years. Keep in touch on the phone, things like that. And some other dynamics played into not being able to have much of a relationship. So here I am at 42 years old. And me and my brother had talked about it. We said, well, his health's getting bad over the years. We said his wife, he had remarried. She's going to outlive him, his health and different things. But at least we know dad will be well taken care of. And, you know, when that call comes, we've witnessed dad. He's made a profession of faith. We do believe he's saved. We said, when that time comes in life, we'll fly down to Florida and obviously pay our respects. And God in his graciousness, his wife, she passed away 2 years ago. I said, Dad, you coming up to the Northeast here? Me and Dave are up here. My brother, that's his only blood here on earth still. He said, no, I'm good. I'm situated. He's a veteran. He says, I'm in the VA system here and whatnot. He's a Vietnam vet. So his health recently has forced his hand. So I called one day to check on him like I always would. I'm driving home from FedEx Freight. It's about 9:30 or 10 in the morning. I just got done working there. And someone else's voice answered. Long story short, 16 days from that phone call, Dad was on a flight heading up to Pittsburgh. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, God in his omniscience on the tail end of daddy's life brought him back around to us. Hey, I thank God for that.
Amen.
Now, I could go through the list of the whys and the why nots, and I have at times, don't get me wrong, over the course of the years, but I'm not going to sit and I'm not going to dwell in bitterness and resentment and this one and that one and rejection and da-da-da, right down. Hey, thank you. I'll take my dad for his last few years, God.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
We drive him to church. We pull the car up. We park it. I get his wheelchair out.
Yeah.
We get him in there. Hey, I get to take dad to church.
Amen.
Hey, I'll take that. That's God's grace.
Yeah.
There is no way humanly I could have orchestrated bringing my dad back around into my life. That's the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's an unexpected gift.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take that all day long. God's business, boy, the fringe benefits. Hey, third thing, here you go. We get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With a lost and dying world,
yeah.
With our friends. We get to be soul winners. We get to be active in the ministry of reconciliation. Amen?
Yes.
The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is
wise.
Amen. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. Matthew 4:19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew 28, we know the Great Commission. I won't quote it. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, we get to share the greatest news that's ever been told with a lost and dying world.
Amen.
Hey, thank you for that blessing, God. Amen.
Amen.
I sat with a man. His name was William, and I had the opportunity to work in a secular mental health facility for a few years when I was on staff back in Jersey, and I was working secular in church. And I sat with this man, and he shared with me how he had been turned away from church. He shared his views of church, his resentment of church. And the man had scars all the way down his face. He had been obviously burnt. So he started to share his story of how when he was a child, his mom left him in a home lit on fire. And this man had just went through things that are absolutely wicked and awful. Then he shared with me that he's a sodomite. I said, okay. And he just watched my face to see what I was going to do when he said that word. And he was watching to see where my head was at, to see what my face was going to tell him about my judgment or non-judgment of what he just told me about himself. So I just looked at him, blank stare at him, and I said, okay, keep going with your story. He said, yeah, but I'm gay. I said, okay, yeah, you shared that part. I said, keep going with your story. I'm listening. He said, well, aren't you going to tell me how wrong I am? I know you work at a church. I said, no, but I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not your judge. I said, I'm Doug the counselor. And we started talking. A few minutes later, with tears running down his face, this man accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. I said, listen, what you're dealing with and what you're doing, I ain't going to sugarcoat it. Bible said it's an abomination, but it's just as wrong as the proud, arrogant Christian that would sit in church every single week and act like they got it all together because they could play the part. I said, you're no different. You need the grace of God just like me or anybody else. God's grace will reach you where you're at. Don't limit yourself to that. Hey, he got saved that day. You think at times in our life, we've been able to lead people to the Lord. We've been able to win. Hey, thank God for that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just one of the blessings of being in God's business. Amen?
Amen.
The ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
Point number four, church fellowship. This church here, first time I was in it, Andrew and Kaylee's wedding. It's first time I was in the church. I'd seen Pastor Ryman here and there at the summit, different meetings like that here and there. But first time we ever had a chance to really meet and talk. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, think about all the things we get through church.
Yeah.
Think about all the blessings that we get through church.
Yeah.
Number one, singing. How many of you used to be shy to sing in church? How many of you still are? You can keep your Amen. I'm sorry, John. I was nudging him in the back. He's like, Hey, listen. I used to be so scared to walk into church. I would open the hymnal, you know, I didn't want to sing. Now, you're looking at a man not because he has a good voice, But I knew how to work a crowd. I took first place in karaoke competitions, preacher. That's before I was in church. I'll throw that side note in. Amen? But I had actually won a couple karaoke contests. Nothing to do with spirituality or church. Frank Sinatra, My Way, that was my closer. No, I won't sing it after church for you. But how could I go from doing that nonsense out in the world, right, and then I show up on Sunday morning and... You know what I'm talking about? And you think, well, somebody might look at me funny if I, right, sing, hit the altar, whatever it may be. But then the weekend be there, and it didn't matter what I was doing. I was best friends. I shared my life story with people I'd never see again. Yeah. I love you, man. I'm so glad we had this talk. Never see him again in my life. But then I get to church, and someone will, hey, it's good to see you in church today. Yeah, it's good to see you too. Thanks. Yep. Hey, and that, when we first start out, because the devil's telling us, you don't belong there. That's not for you. You won't fit in. Yeah. You're not one of them. Yeah. They're going to look at you funny. Boy, if they only knew about, and it fill in the, and the devil fit, hey, John 8, where he said he's a father of lies. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. When I think about church, we start growing in the Lord. All of a sudden, it just, mercy there was great and great. It started getting a little louder. And before you know it, you're just belting it out.
Amen.
You don't care what people think. Amen.
Amen.
We're just singing from the heart.
Amen.
Hey, that's a good thing. Amen.
Yeah.
Walking down on an altar, praying, thanking the Lord for his goodness, whatever it is he's dealing with us on after a message. Hey, it's a good day when I quit being nervous about hitting an altar.
Amen.
It's a good day when I said, you know what? I don't think anybody's thinking anything about me, but even if they are, who cares?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord speaking to me, I'm going to do business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, tonight, sometimes we get a little intimidated. Just do it.
Yeah.
Do what the Lord would have you to do. But going to church, seeing our friends,
yes,
hearing the Bible preach, the preaching of the cross is to them the perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen.
Yeah.
For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Hey, look, this Bible here, it's got all the answers for us. It's got all the answers for America. It's full of answers. 66 books, 39 old, 27 new, 1,189 chapters, 31,101 verses, 791,328 words. From Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, to Revelation 22:21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hey, every one of them is from God. Amen.
Yeah.
It's all good and it's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, don't be ashamed to keep your Bible with you.
Amen.
This Bible here, I got it as a gift for myself a few days after I was saved in 2002. This Bible has sat in more backhoes, more bulldozers, more dump trucks. It has seen more concrete block laid next to it. It's got more notes in it, and as I look through the notes, sometimes you got a travel copy, it goes with you, you just pull it out, you know. But I'll see notes in there, and I make a habit of dating things down when I write it.
Yeah.
And I'll see things that I wrote as just a babe in Christ back in 2002, 2003, and I'll see it, and I said, man, wow, I remember that. I remember when I learned that spiritual truth. I remember when God showed me that. I remember when Pastor Bolt was preaching on that. Hey, that encourages me when I see that stuff. Hey, hold on to your Bible. You got a lunchbox? Put it in your lunchbox. Take it to work.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the cell phones, I mean, it's so convenient to keep God's word with us. Amen? And it's also, I mean, it is protection. If you got a bigger one like this, I mean, physically, you could clock somebody good with this. But I'd be in a dump truck, and the guys knew something changed because I used to go out with these guys on the weekends, you know. And all of a sudden, things started changing. I said, I can't, you know, the place I used to go, I don't go there anymore, right? Things started changing. Doug, he's a priest, he's a holy roller, he's a Bible thumper, he's one of them, he's drank Kool-Aid, amen.
Amen.
I heard it all, but here's what would happen on lunch break. I take this out, we pull that air brake, we go on break. All right, guys, I'm going to eat a peanut butter and jelly, set that down on the seat, clears the cab. Peace and quiet. They'd get out and go sit on the trailer and eat their lunch, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, the Bible will clear house. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Hey, you're looking at a man that used to get the closest seat he could at AC/DC concerts and Lynyrd Skynyrd and everything else. One of the problems with all that wickedness and sin, it just don't go. Now, some people, I've heard people say they got saved and God cleared their hard drive. I wish it happened to me. It didn't.
Amen.
My hard drive still got all kinds of garbage.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen? So my new software, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, he said, well, we're just not going to pull that down from the hard drive anymore. Amen? And God started convicting me of things. He said, you go to church, you're nervous to sing. Part of the reason is you don't know the words. So I took at Calvary, and I got in that big old Caterpillar. I was loading Rock Run and heavy equipment at the time in Estelle Manor, right by Mays Landing, brother. And I strapped that, taped it right to the dashboard of that big old Caterpillar. And I was loading trucks with rock for a job we were doing on a county road. And I just started, dump trucks would come, and I'm loading these boys up, and they'd pull out. I'd have 15, 20, sometimes 30 minutes between loads. And I at Calvary's right there. I'd just sing in the back, though. I'd just be singing, memorizing them words, because when I got in church, then I'd be like, I know this one. Mercy there was great and grace was free. And I knew it. And it gave me confidence. Now, as I'd be singing and I got into it in the front end loader and it's off and I'm kind of kicked back and I got my leg up on the dash like this. I said, mercy there was great. And all of a sudden, someone would pull up next to me. I wasn't paying attention. He's just looking in the window. Something's wrong with you, man. He didn't know what to do. He just said, you going to load my dump truck? I said, yeah. But hey, that's not rocket science, and it's nothing I did that, oh, look what I did. Hey, any of us can tape a church song, copy it in a copier, and tape it to the inside of a front end loader or a truck.
That's right.
Or wherever you're at, it'll build our confidence in the things we do at church.
Amen.
Hey, look, I'm a diehard, I know not many of you in here, but I diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Amen.
Hey, call us when you got six rings, then we'll pick up the phone. Amen. We only answer after six rings, folks.
He just made some friends over there on this side.
Oh. But here's one of the things God convicted me about, too, as far as the Bible and getting God's word. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. See, Dwight White, Ernie Holmes, Elsie Greenwood, and Mean Joe
Green.
The Steel Curtain, greatest front four that ever played. And the Holy Spirit one day said, well, Doug, I'm real impressed that you can memorize four defensive linemen that played football during a decade you were born. I am impressed. That's going to go far at the judgment seat of Christ, Doug. I mean, that's going to pay dividends, buddy. I say, you're right, Lord. Hey, God convicted me of it. The dumb things I know about just nonsense. Grown, fat, sweaty men chasing a piece of pigskin that has air inside of it. And yet it'll get 40, 50, 60,000 people every weekend. And it's crazy. And the Lord said to me, well, you know, where's your priorities, buddy? I'm impressed that you know who those men were, Doug. I started going to church. I love when you said, all right, pick a song, then you quote a verse. That's awesome. I don't think the people at our church back home are going to be happy when we get back. Amen? They're going to say, I don't know where he went for the weekend. Who's this Ryman guy we hear him talking about? But all of a sudden, you know, hey, stand up, give me a verse, you know? But you know what? Hey, always be ready to give every man an answer. They ask you the reason to lie within you with hope and fear. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorn. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen?
Amen.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Hey, we ought to have enough Bible in us. When someone asks for a verse, we could just quote it off like that.
Amen.
Hey, if you only got one down, just hit repeat on that thing. Everybody that asks you, John 3:16. That's good. That'll get you through. Amen?
Amen.
It's a start. But listen, church, we get the Bible. We get to sing. We get encouragement from friends. One thing I love about Christianity is meeting new people. The blood of Christ that saves us, boy, it's a tie that binds us. Amen?
Right.
And I've heard it said so many times, there's a lot of Christians that don't get along. You better hope God don't put your mansion right next to some people, right?
Yeah.
Amen? You're going to spend an eternity getting mad at the neighbor.
Yeah.
But you think about church, the friends we make, the fellowships that we get to have with one another. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
See, I got up here and I don't know anybody really from a hole in the ground, but we're all saved under the same blood.
Amen.
Hey, that's a blessing. We have the greatest cause in the world. We're involved in the greatest business of the world. But mercy, His grace, we get to go soul winning. We get church fellowship, and I'll be done in 5 minutes. Am I all right on time? Amen. Last thought, and I'll be done, is we get to spend the future with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we ought to thank God every day where we're going.
Amen. Yes, sir.
How many of you at times, you struggle to pay your bills? Heaven's got the greatest light source, the greatest power company. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't going to get a statement at the end of the month up in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
You think about all the blessings we have up in heaven. Hey, I'm thankful that I'm going for an eternity with the Lord because of what I did on September 5th, 2002. I'm so thankful that the Looney Tunes and the rest of the things in the world, we're not just going to be kind of floating on clouds, strumming a harp and just kind of hanging out. Hey, I'm glad there's actual purpose in heaven. I get motivated when I think about the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or not. Romans 14, why does that 2 Corinthians, Romans 14, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, I have planted, Apollos water, but God give the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God give the increase. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yep. Hey, I thank God for heaven. I thank God as we're busy about our Father's business here on earth. He's looking at it. He sees what's going on.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the greatest discouragements we can have is to think, God, do you not see what I'm doing? And then, you know, if we're all honest, we all probably got our list, and it's longer than this of, well, they don't do this, and they haven't done that. I've done this plenty of times. I don't see such, right?
Yeah.
And then the devil says, hey, here's a few more names to add that you might have forgot about. And we go right down.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Hey, listen, I'm not claiming to have that down. I struggle with that as much as the next person. Amen? Hey, but let's thank God for the opportunity to serve him.
Amen.
Let's thank God for the opportunity to do something for him. Let's thank God that we get to go out and serve him and we get to soul win. We get to do whatever it is we get to do around the church. Hey, I walked in the men's room tonight, and there it is. It's blocked off because one of the trap is backed up. Hey, thank God for whoever the gentleman was that did that, backed it up. And he, before church, we're all getting settled in and ready. He's in there pulling a trap on one of the, you know, in the men's room. Hey, somebody's got to do it. And some of you right now are saying, I'm glad that's not my gift and ability that I got. Amen. But hey, there's all kinds of things that we need in God's work.
Yeah.
In God's church. Hey, thank God for the opportunities.
Yeah.
Hey, God's keeping track. God sees what we're doing. Amen. And when he comes back, even, you know, you think about what we're going to do. We come back over there in Revelation 19, man, when he talks about, he said, and behold, I saw heaven open, and a white horse, he that sat upon him, was called faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, and no man knew him but he himself. Amen. And it goes on to say, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the which that he should smite the nations. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
Now, out of the options I had, I'm glad I was able to vote for Trump. Out of the options I had, let me make sure I say that. Amen. But I thank God that he's not the answer for America. I thank God that he does not, as much as he thinks so, have the answers that we need here in America. Amen? Hey, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether America honors it, whether America respects it, don't matter. The Bible, we know he's Lord. We're going to spend an eternity with the Lord. In closing, we're saved. We get to be in the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
We're in God's business, folks. Many people learn skills from their parents. Do we do things that people would say, Man, that seems like something God would have done. I wonder if you picked that up from him. Would people ever look at us and say, that's something I think a Christian would have did. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they go to church.
Amen.
Hey, it ought to be that we're so, you know, into our dad's business that people would look and say, you know what, they learned that from somewhere. They ought to look and say, you know what, do you go to that church up the road? They ought to look and say, you know, there's something different about you.
Amen.
Hey, I can tell you one of the most ungodly places in America, the docks of FedEx Freight. Amen?
Amen.
Some of them, they got to the point, they'll apologize when they cuss as they're flying by me on a forklift. And I didn't ask them to, but I thank God that, you know, they say, hey, sorry, preacher, this and that. I said, all right, no problem, you know, this and that. But hey, they recognize. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not because I went in and said, hey, my name's Doug Knight, I'm pastor. I don't tell nobody nothing. Just go in and do my job.
Amen.
And one day, one person said, you know, I noticed you don't curse. I haven't heard you cuss yet.
That's good.
I said, well, I ain't had a bad enough day. It's coming. No, I didn't. I said, I hadn't. But I said, hey, I'm glad you noticed that. And they said, what gives? I said, well, I said, and I didn't say I said, I'm a born-again Christian. Because it shouldn't be because I'm a pastor I shouldn't curse.
Right. Amen.
I said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm just trying to please the Lord. I'm just trying to do the best I can. I said, but I got so many faults just like you.
Amen.
But hey, they noticed something.
Amen.
Hey, it ought to be in our day-to-day activity, wherever it is, people should notice something. And when we need a little motivation, just think of the amazing business we're in. Think of the mercy God has given us. Amen? Think of the graciousness and the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think of the opportunities we get to be soul winners.
Amen.
Woo!
Church. Yeah. A future with the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, none of us deserve any of it. Thank God we get all of it. I don't want to be a Christian that the devil has to where I just walk around bitter and resentful and just keeping my list of, you know, who's not going to get over on me. Man, I did that nonsense before, in and out of church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been in some churches where there was more gossips than there was in the bars I used to hang out in.
Amen.
Hey, it shouldn't be that way, folks.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's be the kind of Christians when new people come in, they'll say, man, this is different than the world. I just feel safe.
Amen.
I feel okay.
Amen.
I feel like people are for me. I feel like people want my family to succeed. Amen?
Amen?
My wife got a text the other day, and I'll close with this. This girl's been coming out. She's not saved. My wife invited her out, and she came out. Her name's Amy. Keep her in prayer. She'll get saved. But she told my wife, and very politely, wasn't obnoxious, she said, well, me and my husband, we don't, you know, we don't really do God. We don't really believe all that. But she said, our daughter, you know, she's young. She said, we don't want to take that from her. Maybe if there's something there for her, maybe. She brought her daughter. They came out to Vacation Bible School. Hey, they were at more VBS than some of our regular church folks.
Yeah.
Hey, every single night, just taking it in. My wife just kept being an encouragement. Ladies of our church, I mean, you talk on loving somebody. They're around her and just how you doing and just talking to her and everything else. She hadn't been there for a couple Sundays. My wife just said, hey, we love you, thinking about you, a couple of the ladies. She sent a text to my wife the other day, just pure guilt. My wife showed me how long. She says, I feel awful. She says, you people have been nothing but good to me. You people have loved on me more than people I've known my whole life. What gives? She's like, I'll be back. I've just been so busy with work, this and that. She says, but this is just crazy how much you ladies continue to love on me. Hey, that's how it ought to be.
Amen.
And that, look, again, I'm not saying look at my wife. And no, just giving you a simple example of my wife and her sister and some of the godly ladies in our church that are just loving on a lost woman. Amen?
Amen.
Just loving on her.
Amen.
Hey, let's love on some people. Amen?
Yeah.
Last time I checked, God is love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher, I'll turn the invitation to you. I don't know how you want to close her out, but I'm going to pray and turn it to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, God.